Hey kiddos, Newsy's Nook is listened to all over the world, and I want to tell you about a little shop down under. My ABDL Supplies is a Sydney-based supplier for the Australian age play community. They've got everything, from onesies and passies for nap time, to shibari rope and paddles for playtime, to automatic savings on any 4-pack of diapers. My ABDL Supplies has a great inventory for any kinky Aussie. Trusted for the last 7 years by littles and bigs all over Australia and New Zealand, My ABDL Supplies always ships discreetly. Just for Newsy Nook listeners, My ABDL Supplies is giving 5% off your next order. Just use promo code NewsyBaby. So try My ABDL Supplies, your one-stop ABDL shop. Hello, 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 and welcome to Newsy's Nook, a podcast where you can sit and relax while I try not to wet my pants. I am your host, Newsy Baby. This week in Newsy's Nook, it's a toddler, it's a baby, it's a diaper boy. This week in Newsy's Noteworthy Events, in Denver, ABDLer is hosting a variety of events during the month of April, including a Nerd Night and an event for our golden babies. In New York, if you love diapers, debauchery, and a dark room, check out NYC ABDL's Time Out, happening Friday, April 12th. There's also the Uptown Munch on Saturday, April 13th, and a Padded Gamers event on Sunday, April 21st. In Chicago, Diaper Up will happen Saturday, April 20th, co-hosted by friend of the show, James Frost. There's also Puddle Scout's Crinkle Crawl after midnight on Friday, April 26th. DC ABDL will be hosting an arts, crafts, and games event on Sunday, April 21st, and a Littles Party on Saturday, April 27th. In Virginia, check out Richmond's monthly ABDL meet and greet happening Sunday, April 7th. In Texas, check out North Texas Little's annual Easter egg hunt happening Sunday, April 7th, and Glow Day, Sunday, April 21st. In California, check out Crinkly Arcade happening Tuesday, April 9th. In Arizona, Stay Crinkly Arizona, organized by my friend Trick, is hosting its monthly social event Wednesday, April 10th. In Ohio, Claw is April 11th through the 14th in Cleveland. The Rhode Island ABDL Munch in Providence is Tuesday, April 16th. And internationally, there is an ABDL social in Amsterdam on Sunday, April 14th. Age Players London will host their monthly munch on Friday, April 19th. And in Mexico City, there is a monthly Littles Party on Saturday, April 13th. For more information on these events, I will have a link to ABDY Sitter's community event page in the show notes. This week in Newsy Nook, you may have seen ABDL short stories or heard audiobooks, but have you ever read an ABDL comic book? I got to check out Karis's ABDL comic books at CapCon and instantly fell in love. He joined me in the Nook to talk about why he started making them and how they can be another tool for our crinkly imaginations. Well, thank you, Karis, for coming to Newsy's Nook.
Well, thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
I'm glad to have you. So I had seen some of your comic book stuff on Twitter, saw that a lot of people enjoyed it, and then I got to meet you at CapCon, this last CapCon. I actually met someone who was in the elevator that was running down to go buy one of your comic books. Like that. Oh. That's how I was tipped off that you were at CapCon, actually, was someone was in the elevator, and they're like, have you seen the new ABDL comic books that are out? And I was like, what?
Tell me more.
Tell me more. How did you get a lot of people that came by your CapCon booth interested in your comic books?
It was far and away the busiest, best convention I've ever done in 30 years. Wow. CapCon didn't just exceed my expectations. It exploded my mind with how ready people were for ABDL comics.
And then did most people know who you were when they went by the booth, or were they like, ABDL Comics, tell me more?
I think it was about half and half. There were people who were like, you're the guy behind this comic? Like they knew, for example, Incontinent Student Bodies, but they did not associate it with me, Karis. And there are people who are like, Karis, you're here. Like, oh, look at your books, blah, blah, blah. And those people are like, hi, who are you?
Before we get into what made you want to start? What do you think it is? What do you think it is that's take comic books and then put ABDLness in it? What do you think is the attraction for so many people?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with people looking outside themselves for something that reflects what they feel. So they're looking for, is anyone telling stories that are basically about me, about the things I feel, about the things I want to do? Is anyone showing me that in comics? And I feel like we all were raised with certain cartoons, you know, that like diapers have always been a comedy thing in cartoons. But for us, of course, they're more than that. And so I imagine people are out there looking for, okay, who's taking the diaper thing and making it a little more real, if that makes sense.
Wow. Were you already an ABDL before you started writing comic books and all that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all my life.
Is that one of the reasons? Is that one of the reasons you started making ABDL comics? Is you were like, you know what? I can make comics. I'm an ABDL. Let's just put them together.
Actually, that was the hugest reason, is I was not seeing what I wanted out there. No, at the time that I started, nobody else was really doing it apart from simple pinup illustrations in, you know, magazines or things like that. Nobody was doing full comic book stories. And I'm like, no, I want a visual story about this. I want to see it. And that's what got me started doing it.
Very cool. So you sent me Incontinent Student Body and Role Playing Buddies. I got through Incontinent Student Body, loved it. I skimmed through Role Playing Buddies. So before we go into the details of it, I noticed that you ride this very fine line of like, yes, there's stories about ABDLs, but they also kind of like ride this saddle of erotic reading.
Mm. Yeah.
I felt like as I was reading it, I was like, oh, this is getting good. Oh, this is getting good. And then you're like, and then the next day, and you're like, wait,
come back.
Wait, come back. I want to see what happened. Like, you know, these two buddies met up and they were changing each other. And then it was the next scene. What was happening? Do you find that you need to ride that saddle of both being like a fun, good story, but also like a little bit of like wink, wink, nudge, nudge?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm cautious with how I write, just because the climate towards ABDL has always been iffy, right? And I mean, I had a story that had an oral sex scene, and I didn't publish it for 10 years because I was terrified that, you know, like they would come for me, you know, like the authorities or the internet police or somebody, right? Whoever. And so what I found that I was more comfortable doing was taking things up to a certain point and then leaving it to the imagination, because I find that imagination is the most erotic thing, and I could never write anything as perfect for someone as what they imagine I'm writing about. Does that make sense?
That makes 100% sense. That makes 100% sense. No, because as you're reading the story, at least for Incontinent Student Bodies, and then the few scenes that I skimmed through with Role Playing Buddies, you really do take us up to a point in, I'll say, the play where whoever's reading it could really take it into their imagination and go in whatever rich direction, which I thought was a really cool, like, not literary device, but a way of telling a story to where you, the reader, could fill in the blanks a little bit.
Yes.
I thought that was
that's
so cool.
That's my thing. I want my readers to feel like they're participating in the story. You know, for all I know, the story could be about them, because so many of us have very similar backgrounds, similar fantasies or situations that we grew up with. And so when I'm writing, I try to think, okay, what's real? What's possible? And then, of course, you know, we have the fantasy in it. Like in my stories, everything always turns out. Everything always has a happy ending. I didn't really like the stories of the early 80s where, you know, there was like a mean dominatrix and like a total humiliation of the diaper person. And it's like, I mean, a little humiliation is nice. But, you know, at the end, I want everyone to be friends. I think that's just me.
No, and it really shows in at least the two comic books you showed me, because Incontinent Student Body is basically a, at least from what I got of the excerpts that you sent me, is it's a diaper university. And there's a wing at this dorm where everyone wears diapers, and you really go. And what I really liked about the little vignettes within Incontinent Student Body is they were all stories that I feel like were based on real life. Were they based on real life? For example, like you had one person who, who was it? They got into like an accident and they became incontinent, and it was, and they were basically describing how they got into diapers. And the whole time I was thinking, I was like, wow, like someone reading this comic book could probably really relate to this story.
Mm-hmm. The secret to Incontinent Student Bodies is that every character that appears in there is someone's character, like someone's persona, someone's whatever. And some of the stories are autobiographical and some of them are just fantasy. I like to say that I invented crowdfunding because when I started Incontinent Student Bodies, it was just this little joke. We were making fun of Associated Student Bodies where everybody was gay in this one dorm. And so I wanted to make a dorm where everyone wore diapers and people wanted their characters to be in this dorm. And so they suggested the stories, and then I just edited, put them together, wrote them out. But it was their ideas and their personas that they're putting into it. And that's one of the things I'm proudest of about Incontinent Student Bodies, is it truly is a community comic. Everybody participates.
Wow, it really shows through, because these stories are very well laid out. And every vignette, I would kept going like, that's a person, that's a person, that's a person. So it's so cool that it actually was kind of like community built. You took these stories from people and made them into comics.
Yeah. Yeah. I just said, what do you want to say? And people would tell me what they wanted to say. And then I would write it, edit it all together, and then be like, okay, here we go. We have a book.
So Incontinent Student Bodies, the characters themselves aren't human, right? I can never think of a term, but you've
anthropomorphized.
There you go. See, my baby tongue can't say it. why use that device? Why use the device of taking these real life stories but putting them on animals? Why do that?
The furry community, which is what the fans of anthropomorphized animals call themselves, furries. And this is why I'm Karis instead of anybody else. Like, I have this, my little cat character who is the host of Karis's Playground. The furry community was the first community that I found to be open and accepting enough of the ABDL lifestyle, of the ABDL concept. And they pushed the boundaries of fantasy and said, no, we want this. We want to appear in this. And so that's why my first, ABDL comic was furry, because they were the audience that wanted it. Mm. And so now I see Karis's Playground as sort of all inclusive. I do furry comics. I do non-furry comics. Basically whatever I can find an artist for, I will write a story for.
Oh, very cool. I bet it also helps when the characters are animals or furries, because then you don't have to question in your head, like, can I relate to this character? It's an orca. Right. It's an orca. I don't know what an orca is. So I can imagine myself, if the story's similar to my own. Oh, that's me. Right.
See, that's the great thing about furry and sort of that cartoony kind of thing, is it takes the physical representation. It's like of a human out of the equation. So you can see yourself as that character. Much easier than, like, say, I'm like, okay, this is an 18-year-old brunette person with brown eyes. And it's like, okay, well, I'm not that, so I can't see myself as that. But if it's a fox or a wolf or an orca or whatever, it's much more, I could be that. That could be me, right?
Right. I think the other things that I loved about Incontinent Student Body was, I wrote down in my notes as I was reading it, I like that there's a university where everyone changes each other. You created Not only, right, you could have just had a comic book about different vignettes of why people wear diapers in college, but you went a step further and created this environment of, no, there's a whole wing at this university where just everyone wears diapers and they're all cool with it and they get to hang out in their diapers and change each other. Was that part of the development of this comic book, of creating this world of diapers are as normal as boxers?
Sort of. Like the dormitory is called Ashton Hall, but the university, U of C Canterbury, is not a diaper university. Only the dorm is.
Only the
dorm part. Issue three, they come into conflict with some frat boys during Hell Week, and there's a conflict between diapered and non-diapered people, which, of course, spoiler alert, yes, does have a happy ending. But for me, there has to be a little bit of conflict, or otherwise, then it's just a fantasy world. And for me, I can't quite cement it into reality as much as if I say, no, not everyone is accepting. But then I put in, but people can learn to accept it, that kind of thing.
As you were describing, have you ever seen the TV show Big Mouth?
Oh, yes. Yes.
It has kind of like a Big Mouth vibe to it, where these stories, I feel like, could help people understand their ABDL-ness selves, but it's cemented in the world of, like, in Big Mouth, it's a school. Here, yes. It's a university. Is that kind of the same if someone was trying to describe, like, this story? It's like learning how to accept yourself wearing diapers, but through a fun story has furries in it.
Well, that's a huge compliment to me, because what I love about Big Mouth is I would love to show Big Mouth to kids going through puberty.
100%, yes.
You know, because it's like, no, I'm sorry, this deals with very real things, using humor and cartoony things to explain to you what your body is doing. And it's wonderful. So I think subconsciously I do try to educate a little bit, because, you know, I want to show that these are people first and foremost. They're just people, and they have this thing, whether out of medical need or out of enjoyment or whatever, but diapers are a culture and a lifestyle that you may be part of. Right. And it may be something that has been inside you all along and you didn't have the words for it. And if anyone, like, oh my God, the most common compliment I get from people is, your books showed me who I was inside. Mm. And that blows my mind every time. But it's so common when people say, when I discovered your site or your books, I suddenly understood myself.
Aww. One of the other things I love about your book, on top of everyone changing each other, is I love how caring, right, the diaper wearing wing of the dormitory is. Was that important for you in addition to writing these stories, in addition to, like, placing it in where there can be in a university, to also foster this community of caring? Was that important to show a world where this could be a reality?
100%. Like I said, when I write my stories, they might have a tiny bit of an edge to them, but the biggest thing about them is the nurturing, is the caring, is the understanding that it is all right and that you're going to be all right.
I love that. In addition to ABDL stories and origin stories being very related to real stories, I thought another story that I thought a lot of people just in general could relate to was Orca's story of having a bedwetting issue, going to college, having to hide their diapers. Did you ever have to go to college and hide your diapers?
No.
No?
I'm kind of an odd duck. I never tried to hide it. Well, like, I hid it from my parents and my family, because I'm like, no, that's a complicated issue, and I didn't want to go there, right? But from my friends, no, I never hid it. I was always out. It's kind of why I became Karis, because I wanted people to know that they didn't have to hide, or at the very least that they were not shameful or embarrassing people, that they were perfectly valid with their desires. And that was very, very important for me. So I guess that's kind of why I've never really been in the closet.
Let me ask you this question. Has that mindset, because I feel like some people, right, some people hear that from other people, like, oh no, I live to the fullest, I don't hide it. Has that always served you? Have you always gotten dividends living that way?
I would say far more happy dividends than regrets or consequences. For one thing, I never had to worry about being outed in an embarrassing situation because I was already out. You know, my friends knew that I wore diapers. They knew that I liked wearing diapers. You know, it just, I decided, no, I'm not going to hide and I'm not going to ever let anyone use this against me. So I chose to live as my authentic self. And that being said, I also have a safe, sane, and consensual view of it. Like, I don't force it on other people. I don't rub other people's noses in it. Like, for example, I don't go out in public wearing baby clothes, right? Like, sure, I'll wear diapers, but it's discreet. It's just my thing. It's my thing that's private to me. And so I'm living my life without forcing other people to participate, if that makes any sense.
Right. And it probably helps writing the comic too, kind of write some, for some people that due to their environment or whatever, who can't come out fully, it probably is a little bit of an escapism to read a comic of a world where you don't have to hide it.
Well, I mean, this is the perfect world we all wish existed, right? And when I'm writing, I want to write, yes, this could happen, theoretically. You know, like, that's what I'm thinking. And I'm always trying to, like, I encourage people to send in their stories. I have a spot on my website called Dear Karis. And it's people to tell me either their personal experiences or their personal fantasies. And some of them are so strong, I can make a comic out of them. Like, I will literally take your story if you want me to, and I will turn it into a comic if I feel that it will reach enough people.
Wow. How many times have you done that?
Let me see. Role Playing Buddies is semi biographical. Obviously, I take poetic license and increase the fantasy elements, you know, because nobody has actually lived this perfect diaper life, right? My Neighbor Scott is another one of my comics about somebody that had a neighborhood boy that was a pants sweater and just was fascinated with that. My Teenage Regression is the actual story of somebody that started wetting their pants just to impress a friend. So there are strong, realistic undertones to at least the beginnings of my stories, even though I have to take them to a fantasy place, to, you know, to deliver that punchline, to deliver that ending. The genesis of the story is rooted in somebody's life.
That's so cool. Let me just touch on Role Playing Buddies only because I know my little loves playing Dungeons and Dragons, and so I feel like a lot of other littles probably might relate to this.
Yes.
So if you don't know, Role Playing Buddies is based on a real life of a certain teen experimenting with bedwetting in a D&D role-playing game. Mm. Is that true? Is that whole part true?
Yes.
Someone experimented with, like, the role-playing part of D&D with bedwetting and, like, wetting their pants?
Yes.
Was there also the erotic scenes of making your best friend wet their pants in front of you?
Unfortunately, that part is fantasy.
No, because
I've ruined everything.
No. If anything, people are going to go run and try to get their hands on it. I thought it was so freaking hot, the idea of playing a game and you tell your best friend, okay, you have to wet your pants, and then they do it. Like, that. I wish I had this type of storytelling. I had Deeker Diaper growing up.
Yes.
So when I was skimming through Role Playing Buddies, it gave a very Deeker Diaper kind of For those that don't know or didn't grow up with Deeker Diaper was just a website that had ABDL, bedwetting, wetting your pants stories, but they were very complex stories. It was like road trips, college, roommates, and role-playing buddies. To me, as I was skimming through it, had a very Deeker Diaper kind of like, hey, I'm this person, I wet my pants, I'm gonna do this thing, get my friends to wet their pants. I don't know, that's what I got from skimming through role-playing buddies.
I do know that in the role-playing buddies story of this person's life, they did physically wet their pants while they were gaming just to see how their friend would react.
I love those type of stories. It almost feels like very like Reddit or like, tell me a story about your erotic past, or like, did you ever jerk off with your roommate in growing up? Like, it has that kind of vibe to it. I don't know. I like it.
One of my comics is from Reddit, and it was about a D&D game. And he was gaming with this guy who wet his pants during the game, and nobody said anything. They all treated it like it was normal. It was the weirdest story that this guy on Reddit was telling. And I'm like, I have got to make a comic out of this. And I did, and it was called The Landlord.
Also, role-playing buddies is a little more erotic than Incontinent Student Body. Is each comic, yes, in varying degrees of, I'll say, eroticism?
Yeah. Role-playing buddies is the comic that I sat on for 10 years because there's an oral sex scene. It's one of those first-time stories, the discovering your sexuality stories, which I think is intensely erotic and beautiful. However, when you depict it in a comic, I was worried I'd get in trouble. So for the longest time, I did not publish that comic. And then I finally did, and I was like, okay, there we go. I can live with this now.
Well, I'm so glad you did, because after this interview, I'm probably going to go back and read it.
Yay!
Because it was kind of cool to, like, I was remembering Deeker Diaper stories as I was reading it. And it was cool because there were some stories where I was like, God, I would love to see this in like a movie or like a picture form. Mm-hmm. Another thing I loved from your Incontinent Student Body was I would love if everyone cheered at me when I messed my pants, like in the Aaron Whitcomb story.
Yes, yes. The idea of being praised for the behavior, the idea of somebody being proud of you or accepting of you and letting you know that it's okay, is a major theme in Incontinent Student Bodies. Like, there is no shame unless it's fun, you know? Like, when people get embarrassed, they're only embarrassed as far as enjoyment will allow. Nobody in Incontinent Student Bodies is shamed or ostracized or gotten angry with unless it makes sense in the context of the story. In issue 3, we meet Link, who is the villain. He's a frat boy gorilla, and he's just, you know, a jerk. But you find out at the end that his parents baby him, and he becomes a member of the dorm in issue number 4. So,
aww, love even, a good arc.
Well, this is the thing. Even the mean stuff, to me, it has a purpose. I will never leave you hanging, feeling angry or sad or mad about a character. It's like, no, in one way, shape, or form, that character is going to help or assist or join in the concept of diapers.
Aw, I love that. Which is a good lead into the next question. What do you personally get out of making all these comic books, right? Like, so you talked about how, you know, you were an ABDL, you were already kind of writing comic books, and you married them together. But what do you personally get out of making these ABDL comics?
I get to see what I've always wanted to see and have not been able to find anywhere else. You might even say selfishly that I write for me, because I want to see these stories come true. And this is as close as I can get to them coming true, is having them drawn, having them created. And some of the bits of the stories are autobiographical. They're from my life. And so I'm like, no, I want to tell this story. I want to show people what happened to me in a positive way and just be like, yes, let's share this experience together.
Is that therapeutic for you?
I would assume it is. You know, I'm no psychologist, but I know that I feel very good when I write something, put it out there, and someone says, this was amazing. I really enjoyed it.
I love that. Which now my second thing. So you were also telling me that you're an actor.
Yes.
You do a little bit of voice work. Would you ever do voiceovers or audio versions of your comic books?
You know, my friends yell at me. They say, you have this talent. Why are you not using it? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm too busy writing. But yes, I would. I would actually do a reading of my work. Obviously, it wouldn't be very visual because it would just be me, you know, narrating. But I absolutely would do that. Yes.
The only reason I thought of it, too, was because I've been listening to a lot of, like, I found erotic audio stories on Reddit. Reddit's a beautiful place. It's not what remember when I was a kid. And I've been listening to like a lot of like erotic ABDL stories on Reddit and stuff. And when I was reading Incontinent Student Body, I was like, oh, I would love to hear this. Like, I enjoyed seeing all the comics and the drawings and all that, but I was also like, wow, like, I would love to hear this story too.
It would be neat, I think, to pair the visuals with a narrated audio. So like making a little movie of the comic panels, you know, like say one by one or whatever, and then just speaking them as they flashed across the screen so that you could like a storybook, you know. I grew up with storybooks that had a little record with them, and you put the record on and then you read along with the record. It was a way to teach kids to read. And it's like, oh, when Tinkerbell waves her magic bell, turn the page, you know, that kind of thing. That would be a neat concept, I think, to do with my comics.
Oh, and could it be one like an audiobook thing where it's like one person reading it and like you read along?
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe I will. No, I don't know. They were so good. I loved Incontinent Student Bodies. Where do you like, so like you get a lot of inspiration from real life stories, your own stories, people send you in stories, but how would you like to see your comics evolve? Are there other stories that you want to delve into? Are there other, where do you see this comic book writing journey taking you?
Well, I never seem to run out of stories, either my own or other people writing into me. And I don't think I ever will. I mean, we will always want to see ourselves there on the page. If I had my wish, I would love to see a Karis animated cartoon. I would love to see either one of my existing stories or a whole new story be developed as an animation. And I don't know what steps it would take to get there. I'm not an animator, but to me, that would be like the ultimate thing, is to see a cartoon about us, about ABDLs.
I'll definitely put your socials in the show notes, but I think, could you just, if people wanted to check out your comic books or wanted to get in touch with you, if they're like an animator and they're listening to this interview and they're like, wait, I'm over here. how can they find you?
Easiest place to find me is karisplayground.com. My books are all there. I have tons of like free stuff. I have stories, comics. All my comics are available there digitally. And of course, my email address, karis@karisplayground.com, and all my socials are findable through that website as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Karis, for coming to Newsies Nook and talking about your comics.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
I will have a link to Karis's website so you can check out his comic books in the show notes. This episode was brought to you by My ABDL Supplies, the Sydney-based age play company giving Newsy Nook listeners 5% off your next order when you use promo code NewsyBaby. Check out My ABDL Supplies, your one-stop ABDL shop. Also, please welcome the podcast's newest sponsor, Tykables. Make sure to check out the Tykables website for all their diapers and clothing options, including their newest diaper, the Potty Monster. All right, kiddos, I have my baby boy in between my legs. He's been such a good boy, nuzzling my legs and rubbing his head on my thigh. He's so squishy. He's going to be squishy very soon. So I got to go put him in a diaper. See ya. Bye.